Thank you for joining me today. It's the last day of November, and so we've got just 26 days left to Christmas Day. Amidst what will inevitably be busyness and even chaos in your life in the next month, I hope and pray that you and I both will be attentive to the voice of Jesus in the Word of God as we daily worship the Lord in all of His splendor and glory. I've been humming this little Christmas worship tune, What Child Is This? I won't sing it for you, don't worry, but the first part and the chorus goes, What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste, to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary. To laud, L-A-U-D, is to highly praise. Indeed, haste, haste, be quick to praise Jesus highly. He is worthy of all our praise. As we poke into his human genealogy this week on God Is, we find two names that are of interest to us, Joseph and Mary. These are the earthly parents of Jesus. And I want to pick up where we left off last time. I'm reflecting with you on the role Joseph had in Jesus' life in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. That's Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is actually in the time before the birth of Christ. Mary is pregnant at the time of our story. And my brief outline is as follows. First, Jesus creates the tension for Joseph between law and grace. Second, Jesus creates the tension for Joseph between obedience and disobedience. By these, I mean that Mary, being pregnant with Jesus, really puts Joseph on the spot. He now has to navigate his way through law and grace and decide to be either disobedient or obedient to God. Let's see this in the Bible, so let me reread Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to his son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, last time we covered quite a bit, and I do not want to repeat myself, so let me just highlight what Joseph knows at this point. He is betrothed to Mary, but not yet married to her, such that he and Mary are not sleeping together. Notice how verse 18 says, before they came together. That means Joseph was not having sex with Mary when verse 18 continues, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Aha! Mary is pregnant, not because she has been intimate with Joseph or even with another man, but she is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that as we read the story in hindsight, but all Joseph knows is that Mary's got a child growing in her womb. He doesn't know the child was conceived by the Holy Spirit yet, and nobody else in their small community knows that the child was conceived by the Spirit either. Put yourself in his sandals, or in the sandals of family members and neighbors. Why would anyone think that you could become pregnant by the Holy Spirit? Who's ever heard of that happening? The Holy Spirit conceived this baby in me. Mary could say, yeah, right, would certainly be the response. So again, at this stage, Joseph is now faced with a decision. The woman he is betrothed to is pregnant. He did not get her pregnant. So what should he do? According to Jewish law, the answer is straightforward. He must divorce her. And legal divorce is an option because under Jewish custom, a betrothal is as serious a binding commitment to the ancient Jews as Christian marriage is in our context today, and we talked about this yesterday. And when it comes to divorce, there are two ways you can do this, one public and the other is private. In the public way, Mary will be disgraced and could be stoned to death according to the law. If I had more time today, we could talk about why she likely may not have been stoned, but due to time constraints, let's leave it at this. The law did call for it. In the private way of divorce, she can maintain her dignity, at least a measure of it, and escape stoning. It is clear from the text that Joseph is going to go ahead with the divorce so he can remain righteous or just before the law. Listen again to Matthew 1 and verse 19. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. Did you hear that? Joseph planned to send her away secretly. He is going to divorce Mary, but apparently he has chosen the more private way of doing so. And so as we watch, Joseph struggles in the tension that baby Jesus has provided to him. There is within Joseph a growing tension between law and grace. The Bible says Joseph was a righteous man, and the righteous thing to do in this case was to divorce Mary by the law. Listen to Bible commentator Craig S. Keener. Under these circumstances, Joseph was righteous in divorcing Mary. To fail to do so would violate law and custom and would bring enduring reproach on his household and would constitute embracing as his wife one who had betrayed him in the worst manner conceivable in his culture. Given Jewish law and custom, Matthew's readers would expect Joseph to remarry. I'll come back to Keener's comments in a minute, but this is me speaking now. There was, of course, the questions that would arise about Joseph's integrity. Could he really be a righteous man if he married Mary and claimed that even though she was pregnant, he was not the father? Keener continues, Joseph knew she was pregnant and was probably not alone. And word could spread quickly in a small town like Nazareth or Bethlehem. If Joseph married Mary and it was clear to anyone besides himself that she was pregnant, others would have assumed that he must have gotten her pregnant. Otherwise, they would reason, he would surely divorce her for being unfaithful to him. And this is the end of the quote. So it is crucial that we, today, keep in mind that Joseph was a righteous man and the righteous thing to do was to divorce Mary. That's the law. And yet verse 19 also holds grace. Let me read verse 19 again. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. There it is, not wanting to disgrace her. Joseph wants to extend grace, compassion, and mercy to Mary. The law says divorce her and lends itself to do so publicly, but grace says divorce her privately. Grace says, save her dignity, Joseph, even though you have the right to see her punished for sin against you and sin against God. So the question before him is, how do I be righteous or just and compassionate and merciful all at the same time? And we wonder this too about our own lives. How do we hold to the truth of Scripture and maintain that all people are sinners who deserve a just punishment from a righteous and holy God, while at the same time showing them compassion and mercy as sinners, even as they sin against us? Maybe you have even struggled with this in the context of dating, a period of engagement, and/or in your own marriage. The adult Jesus will spend significant time teaching his disciples to season their adherence to the Old Testament laws with a heavy dose of grace. It is not that Jesus teaches abandonment of the law. Never. Read Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. That's Matthew 5, verses 17 through 20. There Jesus says that he did not come to abolish the law, but rather to fulfill it. But it is that Jesus teaches against legalism. Legalism is outright adherence to the law as we see the law without any grace. And we see Jesus deal with this on a constant basis with the Pharisees and other religious rulers of his day. The reality is that the law has never diminished grace. And righteous people were always to be a gracious people. According to another Bible commentator, Dr. Michael Wilkins, Joseph is in the line of other Old Testament figures whose pursuit of righteousness was guided by the values and goals of the law, which included compassion and mercy as an expression of God's will. In the broadest sense, a righteous person is one whose life is bounded by the reality of God, meaning both purity of life and compassion of heart. Joseph exemplified the pursuit of that daily reality. It says a lot about Joseph that the Bible describes him as a righteous man, and I want to say more about this, but my time is running out for today and this week. So what we will do is pick up here again with Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, again on Monday. We will come back to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20 and go from there. Law and grace do seem to us to be in tension with one another, and as Christian people, we often wrestle with this. Here is a profitable way for you to spend some time this weekend. Find a quiet space, even for just 15 to 30 minutes, and on your own, read about Joseph in Matthew 1. What do you see as you read the text? How do you think Joseph handled the tension? What can you learn from him that is applicable to your own life? Is there someone in your life that needs your grace, your mercy, and your compassion, and are you willing to give that to him or her? Furthermore, pray about this. Ask God the Father to give you what you need. And then come out of your quiet space and engage family members, friends, and your fellow believers in your church, even strangers, in acts of marvelous grace. Ponder also how Joseph maintained his righteousness in his circumstances. Are you living a righteous life before God and others? Or do you need to repent of sin? Take this seriously as well this weekend and express genuine sorrow for your sin to God and to mothers whom you have sinned against. And that's a good use of your time. And be sure to be back with me again on Monday. We'll continue in the Jesus genealogy with his earthly father, Joseph, right here on God Is.